This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
So where do we start from on this beautiful topic, supportive leadership? To me, it's more of leader, please listen. It's something you need to do.
Yes, and it builds from where we came from, where we were talking about servant leadership.
Yes.
And today we are talking about supportive leadership, the supportive leader. Now, there are many different leadership styles that various ones adopt in guiding their team members, and this is one of them. It's called supportive leadership. Supportive leadership is a leadership style in which the leader helps group members to feel comfortable about their environment, about themselves, about their co-workers, generally to settle down and, as it were, enjoy their experience in whichever space they find themselves. So the supportive leader wants to make sure that all their team, or his or her team members, are really experiencing having a good work experience. In whichever place. So, first of all, is being comfortable in themselves.
Yes.
There are people who come into the workspace very uncertain about themselves, especially when they are getting into either a new team or a new workplace, a new department, or completely a new organization. People come in not sure whether they are going to make it, whether they have what it takes, and so on and so forth. So the supportive leader, appreciating that this person may be in that space of uncertainty, not being sure whether they have what it takes to deliver, tries to help this person to first believe in themselves. Obviously, that means that you sit with the individual, get to know who they are, get to understand what they believe in, what they are strong in, and so on and so forth. So it's that understanding the person. And once you have understood who this person is, then now you can pick what you have heard about them and link it with the role they are coming to play in the organization, and help them to appreciate, wow, I think you have great skills that will really be useful for us in accomplishing this task. This is how I see you fitting in. These are certain areas that you may want to focus on, and so on and so forth. So this person begins to feel, wow, then looks like I might have a contribution here to make.
Yes.
And I have some things that I can utilize. So the supportive leader tries, therefore, to help this person feel, first and foremost, comfortable in themselves.
Yes.
Because it is when a person is comfortable and confident, and comfortable here doesn't mean nice seats and so on, but comfortable that I have what it takes to do what needs to be done. So you help this person to be comfortable, to be confident in their capacity to do what needs to be done. That may also involve explaining to them the work.
Yes.
that needs to be done. As leaders, many times, especially if you have been in an organization for a very long time and you are bringing in a new person, there are things that look very obvious because you have done this for years, you know. Everybody understands what needs to be done. And so you bring in this new person and show them what needs to be done and let them on. The assumption is that they will appreciate the things that we are doing here. Every organization has its own culture. And the new person needs to learn that culture. You find that there is a language that we develop, for example, within an organization or even a department within the same organization. So when you move from one department to another, you need to learn that language. Acronyms that people use everywhere, you know, CAR, and you hear people talking about, and you're wondering, what is this CAR? You
know? Yes.
All kinds of things.
Yes.
So you need to be introduced to these things so that you get to understand when we say CAR, this is what we mean. You know, when we say ICS, that's what we mean, you know.
COB.
COB.
I want the report COB.
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 What is this? And, yeah. And because you have used this so many times and everybody knows it, you assume that the person who has come in will also understand. And they are so lost. They don't know what it is. So pausing in moments to say, by the way, when we say COB, we simply mean close of business. Ah, okay. Then a person, sometimes you look foolish because you, why didn't I know that? But it helps you to begin to understand the language of the department, the language of the organization.
Yes.
And it gives you, makes you comfortable now to begin to fit in and do your work. So supportive leaders are leaders, therefore, make you comfortable in yourself, but also make you comfortable with your co-workers. When you enter into a new space, you have new people, especially if you're coming from outside, you do not know many people. You may not even know anybody. Now you're going to be part of this team. It is important that you are told who this is, what their role is, and how you are likely to be working with them. Who this is and what their role is and how you are interacting with them and what how they can help you. If you need this, this is the person to see. You know,
yes.
Those kinds of things.
Okay.
It may sound simple, but it really helps you. If you are in need of finances for this and this, this is the person to see. If you need to go out and this is the person to talk to. So that introduction, it sounds like an induction, but initially that induction and introduction to the team is so very important that you may be comfortable to work in that environment. But thirdly, it is making you comfortable in the situation. That you come into a space and things are explained to you. It is not assumed because you are coming from the same profession that you will just come and plug in. Because every organization, every department is different.
Yes.
So somebody needs to tell you, this is for here, this is here, this is where we do this, this is where we do this, this machine is for that, this computer is for the other, and you know, that you become familiar with your environment, familiar with your situation. So that initially is the beginning point of supportive leadership.
Question.
Yes.
On the first point that you have said, a leader is supposed to help this new member be comfortable in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And on the sessions we've had before, as we were talking about servant leadership, we were able to pick, we have either leaders or followers, based on the past experiences they've had, it's a bit hard for them to fit in. So a situation where a member, a follower, this new follower comes in, maybe they've had bad experiences where they've come from, and you're here genuinely wanting to help them, but they are looking at you with one eye. Are you really sure, or you want to do the same way the previous workplace? You're pretending, you know, that's the word I was looking for. You're pretending to be nice to me to help me settle in, but I know after a while we'll just behave the same way. We'll come out. How should a leader handle that?
That is a normal thing, because like I said, when you get into a new space, you come apprehensive, both in yourself in terms of, can I deliver? I did very well in the interview, but now in reality, will I be able to deliver? So those are uncertainties just within yourself. And that's where we are saying you need to be helped to overcome some of those uncertainties and questions. But also, sometimes you have heard stories about this place where you are going. And I know it has happened to me several times.
Yes.
You know, you're going to this. This is what happens here. What is happening here. This is the challenge you're going to meet. These people are terrible, you know. So you hear those things and you become apprehensive as to whether you will survive in that environment and the things that you have had. So all those things add to the discomfort that a new member may be experiencing.
Yes.
That's where the leader needs to make them comfortable. You cannot wipe away 100% their uncertainties, their questions, their discomforts. But just sitting down with this person will at least begin to bring down some things.
Yeah.
We talked about what you are asking has to do with two things that we have talked about before. One is authenticity, and the second one is credibility.
Yes.
So authenticity and credibility are not things you can get in one sitting. No. So this person who has come in may have their question, especially if they have heard certain things.
Yes.
About either you as the leader or the organization or the department.
Yes.
That they are going to. So you cannot wipe out that. So that doubt that I was told this person is very tough, but they're talking to me so nicely. What are they up to? You know?
The deal is too good.
The deal is too good to be true.
Yes.
So that you cannot, there's almost nothing you can do about it. But with time, that's where your authenticity and your credibility will be proved as a leader. And so you should not, what I can say for you as a leader, what you should do is don't give false impressions, don't give false promises. Say things as they are.
Yes.
So that people know what they are up to. I teach a leadership class in our university, Park University, PhD class. And during orientation, one of the sessions I'm given is to just let them know what they are going to be going through. And we make it very clear, this PhD class is not a walk in the park. So if you are just coming, thinking I'll just fly through it and you go, you need to adjust. You need to adjust your social life because the time demands are going to be very heavy on you. You need to adjust your whole schedule because most of the people who join the program are working. So they are working somewhere. You still have your full day job, but then you have to add on this one.
Yes.
And it is just as demanding. So we paint the reality of the program. And we even go ahead as much as saying that if you feel that this is not something that you can do in your current circumstances, then you need to just consider carefully because it is going to be heavy on you. And paint the correct picture. So when we start, we are there to support them and we tell them we are here to support you. We will help you as much as we can. But this is the reality. So that is the authenticity part of it. So don't paint, oh, here we are good. Mm. You know, you may have had things there, but no. Give the correct picture.
Yes.
There are these kind of circumstances you may face. There are these difficulties you may experience. When I was bishop in Sitam, one of the things I used to do with our senior managers, our senior leaders, whether they are senior pastors or senior administrators or people who are holding critical positions in the church.
Yes.
I used to have a saying with them, which we used to call the kitchen.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm sure you might have heard about
I've heard
it.
Of the kitchen.
You have heard of the kitchen.
Yes.
Yes. So I would sit with the new person, whether it's a senior pastor or a senior manager, finance manager, HR, whatever, and just take them to the kitchen. What was the kitchen about? The kitchen, especially for church, is a very important session, because there are many people who are coming out from out there and they are now coming to work in church. Their assumption is they are coming into heaven.
Mm.
You know? Mm. So even at interview, you ask a person, why do you want to come and work with church? See, I've experienced so many things out there. I just want to be in a place where it's a God environment.
To serve him.
And we just smile because... because that's a very wrong impression.
Yeah.
Church on Sunday is totally different from the church as an organization. The church as an organization is an organization like any other. Why? Because there are human beings in there. They rub each other the wrong way. They say the wrong thing. They do the wrong thing, you know? And some people, because they have come with that perspective, I'm going to work in church, they assume that everything is going to be new. We are just praying. We are just it is just my brother, my sister, you know. Then they come and they get very shocked.
Yeah.
So that's why we take them through the kitchen talk, so that we moderate their expectations.
Yes.
We give them the true picture and reality of some of the things that they could encounter. And many have appreciated that, those kitchen talks that I used to have with our leaders.
Okay.
It's part of a supportive leadership.
Be truthful this member. Okay.
Be truthful. Be realistic.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sawa. That's clear.
So the next thing is, if we now go into a little more detail, the supportive leader is concerned also not just in the induction of the member into the environment they are coming into, the people they are going to meet, but the next thing is that you treat your members with dignity and respect. When people are treated with dignity and respect, they tend to work much better. They give their very best, even in very difficult circumstances. So treating people with dignity and respect, whoever they are, from the lowest to the highest, you give them the, not the impression, but you give them the feeling, yes, that I am appreciated.
Yeah.
That I am respected by my leader. So a supportive leader wants to treat people with dignity and with respect, whoever they are in the hierarchy of your team. You need to treat each person in the sense that, in a way that leaves them feeling, I am appreciated. I am respected. When people feel despised, when people feel undervalued, they can't give you their best.
No.
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 They can't give you their best. And that's what you want as a supportive leader, to make sure that people are respected and treated with the dignity and respect that they deserve. I think I have already talked about the third one, about integration.
Yes.
How you integrate members into an existing team. That is so important. So you don't assume that they will just come in and pick the ball and run, like they say, hit the ground running.
Yes.
Sometimes they are not able to run because they are uncertain, they are unsure which direction to run. you know. So show them where they need to run, and many people will do very well. So let me not spend too much time on that. But together with dignity and respect is acceptance.
As number four.
Yes.
Okay.
Acceptance and positive regard. Sometimes people are not sure that you'll accept them the way they are. All of us come with strengths and weaknesses, ways of doing things, and we come again apprehensive within the team. And I've given the impression, by the way, that this is just at the entry point. This is a journey all through your leadership experience and through the members' experience in the team.
Yes.
So it is not something that you only do at the beginning and then you stop.
Oh, it's not an induction.
It is not an induction. No. This is not an induction kind of process.
Yes.
It is throughout your leadership experience. That's why we call it supportive leadership.
Yes.
You will even begin to discover things, practices, habits, characteristics, personalities of your team members, each of them, as you go along, as things that you didn't know this person is capable of doing, but they have done, capable in a negative sense, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
So you thought this person is so good,
yes,
and then you find they have done something that is not so good. Acceptance has to do with how do you handle that situation, that new knowledge you have about this person. They are not the angel that you thought they were.
Yes.
And now you are seeing certain, like you say, true colors that are beginning to show, and some of them are not very positive. Acceptance means, how do I continue to work with this person? How do I help them in their personality to continue to work together within the team? So I appreciate that you have this personality that may be not very, very good, and it's affecting your relationship with other people. It's affecting how you do work, but overall, you are a great worker. You're a great team member.
Mm-hmm.
Acceptance has to do with appreciating that this is how you do your work, and it is maybe slightly different from how everybody does their work. It may even be slightly different from how we expect you to do your work. Provided it is delivering and we are achieving what we intend to achieve, I can say that's not how we do it, but it's okay.
Ah.
You know?
Yes. You, flexibility.
Yes,
sort
there's
of.
A flexibility. So I give you room because I realize that that way of working for you helps you produce better results than if you were to do it the way that is prescribed, how we normally do it. But for you, I will say, okay, you do it that way. It is not the way that we normally do it, but it is producing results. So that is part of acceptance. That is part of the flexibility that you have. And it becomes a very individual, personalized thing, unless it is against policy. Of course, we will not break policy. But there are different ways. Like they say, there are many ways of skinning a cat, or is it killing a cat? Some are more difficult than others.
Yes.
So you'd see, ultimately, it's what we want to achieve that matters. How we particularly do it may not be the key thing. Because some of us as leaders, we are so obsessed with the rule and the policy and the procedure and the process that we lose on the ultimate objective, which is the outcome, the result, the impact.
Yes.
So it is Who told you to do it that way? We don't do things like that here. And so on and so forth. That kind of language, first of all, it kills creativity, it kills innovation, but it can be very discouraging to people who are not used or accustomed to doing things in the way that is you are prescribed.
Yes.
Let me use a very crude example. You know, there are parents that I have heard of. They give birth to a child, and then they realize the child is left-handed. And I have heard, I hope you're not one such parent, I have heard parents who force their children to use the right hand.
Oh, no.
They even beat them up. You know? They can't use their left hand because the normal is the right hand. So they struggle with these children. You have to use your right hand until they learn how to use their right. But you can see their natural inclination is the left. Okay?
Yeah.
So what is so wrong with allowing your child to be left-handed?
And they have beautiful handwritings, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, we found many left-handed. Obama was left-handed. Our former president, Kenyatta, left-handed. And they have done great things in life. But their parents who are like, no, my child can be left-handed. So I'm going to force them to.
That's sad.
That's not acceptance.
Yeah.
So acceptance is normal. You should use your right hand. But if you're left-handed, it works for you. It's okay.
So long as the output is
there. The output is okay. Yeah.
Okay, question around there. So yeah. What should a leader do in such a situation where you have agreed you're going to be flexible, but you see you have 90 other members who are just watching from a side? Assume it's this one member who is left-handed for the purposes you're having. And you're saying, it's okay, we prefer right, but for you we'll be left. And the 90 others feel sort of favoritism, you know, this leader favors this one, allows them to deliver their way, not the way the rest of us deliver. What's the line so that other members don't feel you're favoring, but it's just as a leader, this one delivers differently and I'm allowing him or her deliver their way?
That's true. It is not usually a very easy thing. Especially in a large large organization. And that's why I said we are not talking policy, we are not talking about specific processes that would interfere with the overall operation of the organization. So we will not bend policy for one person because that brings confusion in the system. But the how you deliver may vary from person to person.
Yeah.
So when we were talking about transformational leadership, and we talked about the four I's, one of the I's is what we call individualized consideration. Now, individualized consideration means that you as a leader, you know each of your members, their strengths, their weaknesses, their gifts, their skills, their abilities. So, I am allowing Grace to do this because that is her area of strength, of her gift, of her ability, and therefore she can deliver that way. The other person, I will sit with them. I find their strength and gifts and abilities are in a different area. And so I also treat them in the same way and allow them the latitude that will help them to deliver in their own way. But we are all team members who are fitting and dovetailing into each other. But in terms of overall policy, it guides all of us the same way. I don't know whether I've answered your question.
You have. I think when you brought in the individualized consideration,
yes,
it brings it home.
Yes, that's it. That's it. Because you have to know your team members, their strengths, abilities, their gifts, and allow them, therefore, the latitude to utilize those gifts in the way that they know best, but that contributes to the overall whole. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We stopped at the point of acceptance.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's where the left hand came in.
Yes.
It's interesting, yeah, because why do you want to force the child to do things with the right hand when they are left-handed? That's a natural event. They did not choose, and they are not lazy. They just were born that way.
Yes.
And so you see how to utilize. And as I said, there are many great people who are left-handed, and they are doing great things out there in the world.
Yes.
The only thing that I would train the child is not, which you are trained when you are young, that you don't give serve people with the left. You serve people with the right. So whether you are left-handed or right-handed, you do that because it's a sign of respect.
Yes.
Yeah, for the other party. Before they discover that you are left-handed, they'll be wondering, why are you giving me things with the left?
Yes. You know? Yes.
And that doesn't require special skill. It's just remembering that I need to show respect by greeting people with, you know, you don't greet people with their left.
No.
Just because you're left-handed.
Apana.
Yeah. Mm. So those are things that a child can be trained in. But otherwise, allow them to operate in that which is comfortable for them. And that's what we are saying now. When you bring it to a team leadership situation, there are things that you'll discover that a person does better in this way. And so you can allow them to do it slightly different from how everybody else does.
Okay.
And if need be, explain to the team members or just mention it within the team setting that,
yes.
So I realize so-and-so is more comfortable doing this, this, and that. And therefore, I don't see any reason why we can't allow her to do that or him to do that. And then so it is clear in everybody's mind,
yes,
that that's what you are doing. Giving them that special consideration just because of who they are. Yeah.
Okay.
It is not favoritism. Yeah.
Sahawa. A question popped into my head while we were on break, taking you back to point two, where you said a leader should show concern by treating members with dignity and respect. I've heard, different people say, what about, does the temperament of the leader affect how a leader treats the people? Because some would say, me, I'm choleric. Cholerics who behave this way. I don't care about your emotions. I want work done. Others say, this is a phlegmatic one. We'll just walk with you slowly, slowly, and ensure everything is done. So my question is, does temperament affect how a leader would treat their member when it comes to dignity and respect?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that those are part of these specials that we talked about. There are temperaments that you are born with. They are part of your personality. And there is usually very little, let me use the word little, that you can do about your personality, your temperament, that you are born with. It's like being left-handed. There's little you can do about it. I say little because as parents have testified, they have forced their children to use the right, and they use the right. But this power of the hand is actually on the left, even though you have forced them to use the right. So there's little you can do about personalities, temperaments, and so on. But no, your temperament should not affect how you treat people. And so what we call self-awareness, what we call emotional intelligence, all these are supposed to help you know who you are, what kind of personality you have, what kind of temperaments you have. But that knowledge is not to affirm those things, but it is to know how then should I operate. If I'm a hot-tempered person, that is me. And there's a sense in which we can say, accept me the way I am. I'm just a hot-tempered person.
Mm.
But it doesn't, that is your self-awareness. That is your self-appreciation of who you are. Now, how you relate with people should not be on the basis of your hot temper. Now you must know how to control and manage your temper as you associate and relate with people.
Yes.
So you can't go blasting everybody everywhere, making noise and shouting at people. Then now that's where we say you have lacked emotional intelligence. You are not able to, because in emotional intelligence and in self-leadership, we talk about personal mastery.
Yes.
Personal mastery, it means you have mastered yourself. You have control. In the Bible, we talk about self-control.
Yes.
And I think Tim LaHaye has written a book called A Spirit-Controlled Temperament. Yes. So it shows you how you can operate within your personality, but manage that which you are or who you are in a way then that is beneficial rather than destructive. So yes, we can say that is who you are. There may be little you can do about it in terms of changing who you are, but there's a lot you can do in terms of managing and controlling your personality, your temperament, and all that in relationship with other people, how you handle other people. So if you are a leader, you cannot go shouting at everybody and then say, that's just me. Yeah, you accept me the way I am. If you don't like it, shut the door. No.
Oh, no. That sounds so bad.
Then you are not a leader.
No.
Then you are not a leader.
No.
The leader says, this is who I am. How then do I control myself? How do I manage myself and my temper as I help my members to achieve and accomplish the task that we are supposed to? Then there now you are a good leader.
Yes.
So we cannot accept you saying, that's just who I am. No, that's giving up. That is carelessness. That is abusing other people.
Mm.
Yeah.
Personal mastery.
Personal mastery
is what you need as a kiongos.
Yes.
Okay.
Kiongos. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
True.
We can proceed then.
Yeah. So in the same, we talked about being polite, being considerate, is which what we have just talked about. You are not arrogant, you're not rude to people. Even if you have there are people who are brought up in very rude and abrasive environment. And at home, you know, people shout at each other. People use bad language against one another. And you pick it along the way, you know? And so you find, you come to a work environment, a team environment, and these things begin to slip through. You know, you call somebody names, and sometimes you don't even think about it. But now when you are a leader, you have to think. You don't throw words at people just like that. Be polite. Be considerate. Don't use abusive language. Don't use insultive language. Don't use crude language with your members. So that is part of being a caring, supportive leader. Treat the subordinates, your workers, your team members, as individuals. Don't compare people. One of the things as parents and as leaders we are fond of doing is comparison.
Yeah.
How comes you don't work like so-and-so? How comes you don't do things like so-and-so? Look what so-and-so has done. It's so easy.
Yeah.
It is so easy. But it is not the best way of leading people, because people are different. They have different capacities. They have different ways of doing things. So we could use the other person as an example, not as a comparison. Those are two different things.
True.
It's an example of what could be done and what is possible, especially when a person is saying, this is impossible. This cannot be done. He said, no, actually, it can be done. So and so did it. This is how they did it. So you too can do it. But let's see, what would you need to be able to do it? But do it in your own way and in your own pace.
Yeah.
So it is not a comparison, but it's a reference. And many times we do not differentiate between the two. Like, for example, we talk about don't compete with others in life. Oh, so-and-so has bought a car, I also buy a car. So-and-so build a house, I also build a house. So-and-so married, I also get married. You know, those kind. That's competition.
Yes.
But you could use those as inspiration. If so-and-so can do it, I also can. Because you are thinking this thing is impossible. I remember how we bought our first car, imported our first car, was through the inspiration of another person. That which sounded so impossible, when they told us how they went about it, we thought, even us, we can do that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But we are not competing with them. We are not buying because they have bought. But we have learned that actually the path they followed to get there is a path we too can follow and get there.
Yes.
So we gain inspiration, we learn from the other person, but we are not competing with the other party. That's what... Now, if you put it from the leadership perspective, is that you can inspire, use the other good example to inspire the other people, but not compare the two people. Say, how come you can't do this and so has done this? Look at what so-and-so is doing. You are just sitting here from where, you know?
Oh, my.
That becomes discouraging. Yes. Rather than inspiring.
Okay.
Yes. So you treat your people as individual. The other point about supportive leadership, which I need to learn myself, is the importance of knowing people at a personal level and getting to know their what is important about them.
Mm.
Or what is important to them, so that when you are talking with an individual, at least it's good to know that they are married and who are they married to. It's good to know if you have gone that far, their children and their names. I know there are people who are much better in that, and that's why I'm saying I need to learn that myself, because I'm not good in names and I'm not good in remembering people details, you know. But I work at it.
Yeah.
I work at it so that I can remember, you know. This the husband. Oh, he got promoted the other day, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
It really makes people feel appreciated, feel cared for, valued. You lost your relative last month. Of course, we came, we prayed, we contributed, and it is finished. It is now a month down the road. Very few of us remember to say anything. But imagine if you just come and say, Grace, how are things? How are you coping or adjusting to the situation? This 1 month later, 2 months down the road, they feel like, oh, you remember, you know?
True, true.
Because people have finished and moved on.
Yes.
And we assume that people have moved on. Those kinds of things really help individuals to feel they are valued. They are appreciated. Somebody knows about me.
Yes.
And it may just be, I remember one time I asked somebody that kind of a question. It was, would I say, I happened to remember and I asked in almost a casual way. You know, the way you ask, how are you?
Yes.
It's not so deep. But this is now a situation where they had lost a loved one and I was just asking, so how are you coping with this? What, where are you at? And they began to cry.
Mm.
Because apparently at the stage where they were, this thing had now just begun to sink.
Yeah.
The time when we were with them, it was an event.
Mm.
They were planning the funeral, they are organizing things, so it was a project. Mm. But now everything has settled. It is now a reality. And that's when now this thing is really sinking. They don't know how to cope and so on and so forth. And they began to tell me what they were going through. I didn't realize I'd opened a whole thing. But when we were finally done, this person said, thank you for asking.
Yeah.
And thank you for praying for me. It's amazing. Those are things that we don't normally do as leaders. Go bury your person, come back, let's work, continue.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's how we operate. So this supportive leadership goes beyond that. Yeah. Goes beyond, you took time off last week to take your daughter to hospital. Mm-hmm. How is she now? It makes a whole lot of difference, you know, to the individual. That is supportive leadership. Be patient and helpful when you are giving instructions. We tend as leaders to just throw things. I want this done by next week. And you let them go. And sometimes you don't give necessary information and details that would help this person to do a better job.
Yeah.
So when it is brought back, you say, is this what you can do? Now 2 weeks have gone. I have done my best, but my best is not good enough. And it is not good enough because there are details you didn't tell me.
Yes.
There are expectations you didn't give. And so I did my best with less information. If you had given me adequate information, perhaps I could have done a better job.
Yes.
So give as much information as is possible. Be helpful. Give direction where you can. Because the ultimate objective is that we want to accomplish the task. We want to accomplish the task, not they. It is we as a team we want to accomplish. So I want to facilitate you in order to do the best that you can to accomplish this task.
Okay.
Yes.
Hi. That's an interesting one. Be patient.
Be patient.
You know, it's just last week when somebody was telling me it's tough to... It's tough to lead grown-ups because they take instructions slowly, like children. But here, our leaders
so who
are being...
the better one? The teenager?
No. Teenagers, I believe, are worse, maybe. The key thing is be patient and give all the information.
I wouldn't say all, but I say give adequate information. Why do I say not all? There are other leaders who are on the opposite end.
Tell me.
They will tell you everything that needs to be done. So you're wondering, so why am I going to do it? So why don't you just do it?
They prescribe.
Yes. That's the word.
Yes.
So you have been left with no room. I don't know whether you have sat I sat in a board many years ago where the chairman, which was not me, I was a member, would dictate to the secretary how a minute should read. So after every decision we have made, then he turns to the secretary, so now write it this way. It was resolved that
no.
So we have to and of course they are constructing this sentence or paragraph in their minds as we go along.
Yes.
So don't not that way. It was resolved that so can you read for us what you have written?
Oh my.
And we spent so much time, the chairman dictating to the secretary how to write the minutes.
Yes.
And not only that, to read them back.
Oh.
Then you say, yes, now that's good. That's so good. Let's go to our next item.
Mm. They were ending past midnight, I'm sure, those meetings.
So I think there's a balance in there.
Yes.
Give adequate information that this person needs to be in order for them to accomplish the task that is at hand. But don't be prescriptive.
Yes.
Where you kill creativity and innovation. So you must allow people to also explore what are the best ways of dealing with this situation. Because in that way, they will come up with ideas that you never thought about and whether you never even thought were possible. But because of their creativity, they bring up this. So give adequate information.
Yes.
As you are patient with them.
Yes. We could pray, then we could pick up some of these questions in our next session.
True.
Okay.
True. Yes.
You could pray.
Thank you, Lord, for giving us opportunity this afternoon to just be here together to discuss matters to do with leadership. We want to pray that the lessons that we have learned, we could use them somewhere. Pray for our listeners who find themselves in challenging environments, that, Lord, you'd help them to do that which they need to do so that environment in which they have been planted can be a conducive place where they can grow and they may develop themselves as leaders. This is our prayer this afternoon. As we face the rest of the week, we pray that you be with us, for we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum.
The Leadership Forum.
Discussing leaders and followers.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.